What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Blind Tag Podcast. We're at number 6 right now, going strong. Tell them, Tim, what are we going to be talking about today?
Today we're going to be talking about the last 2 weeks of Raw and SmackDown.
All in the build-up for...
Vengeance.
Vengeance. So what's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of Blind Tag Podcast number 6. I am Steve, as always, and with me today is...
Tim, again.
Again, the regular host. He's taking his spot back from Brad. Brad hasn't had a chance to rebuttal his promo.
He ran away and jumped on a boat, apparently.
No, he did.
He's on holiday on a boat somewhere.
On a boat?
On a boat.
It just reminds me of the Lonely Island. I hope he sings that song. If he doesn't, it's a wasted opportunity.
I think he's on a boat. I might be making that up. I'm not sure.
What you're basically saying is he's completely scared of you and he ran away rather than man up and deliver a promo to you.
Pretty much, yeah.
Cute. So, yeah, what we're going to be doing today is discussing the past couple of weeks of Raw and SmackDown, all leading up towards the build-up for Vengeance, whether we thought it was a good build-up, a bad build-up, whether they could have done better, stuff like that. So let's go back in time now to Raw from 2 weeks ago. We'll be talking about the 3rd of October show, 2011. So the show starts off with Randy Orton making his appearance. You know, was this off the back of Night of Champions? Is that right?
Yes, correct. He'd lost the night before against Mark Henry.
And he's starting off the night against Drew McIntyre, who made it to TV, which is kind of monumental in itself.
Yeah, it was nice to see Drew McIntyre back. I think he's underused. I do like him a lot.
I reckon he's probably on TV, and not TV, on Superstars and stuff like that, but I don't watch that, so I don't even know. I mean, I've been seeing more and more superstars recently who I've got no idea who the fuck they are because they're in NXT and I don't bother with that show.
Yeah, I got that with last night's SmackDown as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit, who the fuck are you?
But yeah, Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre. You know, at least I guess Drew is on TV, I guess, which is always kind of good because he's not too bad. I mean, he used to be a lot better, but he's lost a lot of momentum and I think he might have lost confidence in himself. And, you know, this is directly because he was Mr. McMahon's top guy.
Yeah, he was the chosen one, and he was supposed to be the next big thing. And he just got absolutely crushed.
Quick squash. Yeah. Quick squash. Orton gives Drew an extra RKO for no reason whatsoever. He essentially assaults him.
Must have just been trying to send a message to Mark Henry that I may have lost last night, but I can still beat everyone.
Booking-wise, him giving the extra RKO makes sense at the end because it bookmarks what Mark Henry does.
Yeah.
You know, because it explains it. Because, like, when this happened here at the very beginning of the show, I was kind of confused by it. But, yeah, I mean, there's nothing else to really say about that, is there? I mean, he's coming off a loss to Mark Henry. He's squashing Drew McIntyre for no reason. But at least McIntyre's on TV, I guess.
Yeah. That's about all you can say about that match, really.
It's disappointing because there's really not else anything to say. Sorry.
Obviously, it was the Monday. Everyone thought it was going to be opened up by Triple H. So it was a bit of a surprise having the Randy Orton McIntyre match straight off the beginning.
It was, because didn't it start? Like, it just kind of opened and Orton was coming out, music started, and then it just cut to McIntyre in the ring. He had a jobber entrance.
Pretty much.
I guess we could kind of talk a little bit about how much it is a shame that McIntyre's fallen so drastically. He's one of these guys who suffered really badly. I have no idea why. I don't know if they lost faith in him or what. But, I mean, like, whereas other people who were at his level at one point have skyrocketed, like Sheamus, Cody Rhodes and people like that, he's sunk all the way to the bottom, to the level of Yoshitatsu.
I never looked at it that way. He's at the same level as Yoshi.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
All he does is job, you know? He wrestles on the C shows and jobs. That's it.
A bit like John Morrison as well at the moment.
Yeah, well, you know, if you believe rumors, he's not going to be around much longer anyway, despite just releasing a new shitty t-shirt, which segues us nicely onto our next segment. So the next match is John Morrison getting squashed after... having only really minor offense against Mark Henry. What do you think? You're a huge John Morrison fan. What do you have to say about that?
They just seem to be crushing him now. Like, no matter what he does.
Do you think that John Morrison is suffering for the sins and transgressions of Melina?
I think he is a little bit. He's being punished for the stupid shit that she's doing, trying to turn up to shows after being fired.
Have you heard that she's been posting on Twitter and shit like that, like retweeting stuff about breaking up and like relationship advice.
Yeah, I saw some of these. I
mean, what the fuck's that about?
I think she's just attention grabbing. She just seems to be like a crazy bitch.
Yeah,
that needs all the attention on her.
Bit of a sick head Latina.
Yeah.
That. Well, she can always run back to Batista. I'm sure he'll have her.
I'm sure he will.
Although, if she's not with Morrison at the time, maybe he won't be interested at all.
Yeah, I can imagine Batista being the type of guy who only wants something that he can't have to piss people off.
Yeah. Because he can take it too. He looks like he could be a big bully.
Have you seen him recently?
Yeah, with his mohawk.
Mohawk and his big back tattoo, tattoos all down
the mohawk
as well,
looks alright.
It's not as good as my mohawk, but. But I'm not going to tell him that.
No. But yeah, I mean, Jomo gets squashed after having very little offense. And Mark Henry, this is, okay, I was wrong. It doesn't bookend the show at all. I thought it did. The next match itself has Mark Henry hitting a second World's Strongest Slam, which, you know, is obviously reminiscent of Orton hitting second RKO on Drew for no reason. What I don't understand is how Booker T can justify one but not the other. It's really stupid, blinkered commentary and opinions. I mean, I know Booker T is obviously supposed to be like the face commentator, but I mean, it's getting to a point of just like being completely blinkered. It's ridiculous.
It's
really
almost
stupid.
As bad as Michael Cole, but he does it the other way, obviously.
Yeah.
But then he's supposed to be the heel and he's supposed to piss us off, whereas Booker's not.
Mm.
Like, he's not supposed to be pissed off. We're supposed to be agreeing with him.
Booker T, the problem is Booker T is so annoying on the mic. He just chats gibberish, and every so often he'll have something relevant to say, like that whole stuff at Night of Champions and stuff like that. That was pretty funny. But no, sorry, Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
No, which one's the one I enjoyed? Where is it? It was Hell in a Cell with Negro Sakara, yeah. But
come out with something funny every now and then, but it just you have to wait.
It's not enough
bullshit to get there.
Yeah, it's not enough. I mean, if we're waiting 9 shows for him to be good on the 10th, then that's fucking just not good enough, you know. As another observation about Mark Henry, it took him 15 years to win the belt. It also took him 15 years to finally get decent on the mic, I think. Because he is actually pretty good now.
He's been cutting a lot of good promos recently. I don't know, he must have been doing some work backstage with somebody else, teaching him and doing practice.
Even just the process of osmosis. I mean, in the time that Mark Henry's been at the WWE, look at the great talkers that were there at the same time. Stone Cold, The Rock, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Jericho. Do you know what I mean? All these people were amazing on the mic while he was there. So you'd think that he'd pick some stuff up from them. But then again, you could say that about quite a few people who did not, you know? But, yeah. Just like with this is disappointing already, because just like with the Orton match, there's not much to really talk about, is there?
Not really. It's just another squash match.
Yeah.
You can't really say much about that apart from it's disappointing for the two people who got squashed.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of building up towards vengeance, I suppose there's also the, you know, they've got unfinished business.
Yeah.
They're both sending messages to each other, all that stuff, calling one another out. But I don't know. I don't really think it did too good a job of it.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I mean, it's not even like they're building up towards another rematch, because, I mean, obviously we'll get to that show eventually, but they had it just this past Friday. I'm not feeling it anymore. I never thought it was that good in the first place. Let's move on to the next part of what happened on Raw, and that was the big promo where all the heels that have kind of banded together came out in order to call out, you know, and have their say, because, you know, there was going to be the 12-man tag as the main event for this week's Raw. Each heel gets a little bit of mic time, and they do this again on a later show, and it just kind of reminds me of, like, a school play.
Yeah,
you know,
they
where
stand
like
standing the line, one steps forward,
exactly,
steps back, passes the mic over.
They were kind of reminds me of South Park. You just kind of say, "And I'm gonna beat you with the ankle lock," and then Ziggler comes forward. He goes,
"Hiya,
hiya," and then out comes Cody Rhodes, and Cody Rhodes talks with this monotonous kind of tempo, just like Chris Jericho used to do. No wonder Jericho thinks everybody's ripping him off.
That's getting a little bit stupid now, though.
Like, talking like this?
No, just Chris Jericho. I could understand it at first when people were using his moves and were dressing like him. But now it's the whole thing with the rally that they did outside. He was going, "I did that first. I got a petition when I got banned from Raw." And it's like, that's a petition you were trying to get people to
sign. I think
he's
trying to stay relevant. because he's not in WWE, but he wants to stay. He wants to be memorable to the fans.
Yeah, as I say, at first, yeah, that made sense. Now he's pushing it a little bit too far. You're copying me because you did something slightly similar to something I once did as well.
Mm.
So, but there's only so much you can do.
I was going to say, I mean, just look at movies, just look at music, just look at so many things. Everything's pretty much been done. You know, it's just, I've said it on this podcast once, I'll say it 100 times again. You know, it's not the destination, it's the journey.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't matter if somebody is doing a slightly similar storyline, as long as it's enjoyable to watch, or slightly tweaked, or if it's different enough but similar enough, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, what I find is, what do you think of this for a direction of a heel stable with all the biggest heels in WWE in it, when Vicky Guerrero, who's not even a wrestler, gets the biggest reaction? What are your thoughts on that?
The wrestlers obviously aren't doing their jobs properly. That or Vicky Guerrero is just extremely good at what she does.
She is. We know she is.
Yeah.
Like, as far as being a heel goes, she's got it down pat. And it's all down to...
Has she ever played a face?
Yes.
She has.
When she... this is the whole exploiting Eddie's death thing.
Right.
When Eddie first died and she first came in and was being featured with, like, Rey Mysterio and stuff like that, and Chavo, there was a very respectful thing where people were cheering her stuff like that, because obviously she was married to Eddie Guerrero. But then I think she went away and then came back, and that's when she started her run as a heel. But of course, it wasn't until she picked up the catchphrase,
"Excuse me,"
that she became huge, you know? But I mean, I still find it kind of odd that she gets the biggest reaction, you know? I mean, was Del Rio in this lineup? I can't really remember off the top of my head.
I think he might have been.
But you got people like Christian, you got people like Ziggler and Swagger there, and yet it's Vicky that gets the reaction. And then look who comes storming down the ramp, of course, forcing himself into the story once again, making everybody look at him. It's Triple H.
It's ridiculous. It's going back to when it was the Triple H versus Randy Orton stuff, and it was every show was opening up with Triple H, and then the middle of every show was Triple H, and then the end of every show was Triple H.
He's suffering the same thing that Vince McMahon suffered from. Like, he's thinking the show cannot go on without him. He's thinking the show would be nothing without him, and he thinks he is the show, but he's not. He needs to step back
and
let it be. He needs to step back and realize, look, okay, you were and will always be one of the greats, but your time is pretty much done now. You know, you can still wrestle a good match, I'm sure of it, even though we didn't see that with the CM Punk fight, but I know... You know, he can wrestle. We all know he can. But it's time to hang up them boots, man.
He's supposed to have a pact with Shawn Michaels that when, like, they were supposed
if they weren't married at 40, they'd get married.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it was a, if one of us is getting too old for it and shouldn't be doing it anymore but doesn't see it, the other one will tell them. And when the other one tells them, you know, you're done.
Yeah, yeah.
And
to believe him.
But I think Shawn knew he needed to get out and Triple H didn't have to say anything. So Shawn was like, I'm ready to retire.
Yeah.
But I think Shawn needs to come and say to Triple H, and obviously this isn't an on-screen thing, this is just in their own personal lives. I think Shawn needs to say, step back, you're getting...
You're not needed.
Yeah, you're not needed in this.
Yeah.
I think Shawn's probably one of the only men who will listen to when that happens. But... Mm.
Well, as a final note about this little segment, I just think that, you know, all the heels in the ring should really, you know, frankly, be a faction in themselves. They should just be a big heel stable because, I mean, they've got the talent, they've got charisma, and they've got gold.
Yeah, they've got belts there.
I mean, you just feel like just make it official already, you know? I mean, because you got tag team in Ziggler and Swagger. You got
the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah.
You got the WWE Champion.
Yeah.
You got...
Dolph's still the US Champ, isn't he?
Oh, he is, yeah.
He is the US Champ as well. You got Christian, who's a former world champ as well, and Del Rio now is associate too, I think you just said. But I mean, it's just like, it's a winning stable. It's a stable filled with winners, and they're all heels, you know? Make them an official stable. Make that be the stable that Vicky manages.
Yeah.
You know, that's all she needs. But yeah, that's all I got to say about that. You want to move on?
Yeah, let's move on then.
Well, so, next up is a Divas match. With Beth and Kelly Kelly.
Is this the one where Kelly Kelly flips out?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Beth had to clash... No, sorry. Beth had to cheat to win at Hell in a Cell with the assist from Natalya. And on Raw, Kelly Kelly is capable of simply going apeshit crazy and fucking killing Phoenix. Are we seriously meant to believe this? Like, look at the size of them. Look at the size differential. How big Kelly is compared to Beth Phoenix with her muscles and whatnot.
It's the heart that she has and what she wants
it's
to take.
It's the soul that she has.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people on our Twitter feed, at Blind Tag Podcast, by the way, so add us if you haven't already done so. They're making a fair comparison. You know, they're saying, like, the problem with the Divas division, apart from the fact that it's absolute shit, is the fact that Kelly is always booked as the female equivalent of John Cena.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's always coming out on top. She's always doing this. She is the golden girl of the WWE. But I don't know if that's really justification enough to really make me suspend my sense of disbelief where I go, Kelly, that beautiful woman is beating up that man woman. This makes sense.
Those two man women.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With Eve. What's Eve do?
I'm sure she was just dancing in the background.
It doesn't make sense. Oh, God. That's a TNA saying. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. This is going badly for this week's Raw. Let's move on from that debacle because, you know, it really didn't make any sense at all. Guess who's back? Back again.
Shady's back.
Santino's back. Tell your friends.
Tell some men.
So Santino's comes out and he makes fun of Jinder Mahal in a fake Punjabi accent.
It was funny, but yes,
racist.
Slightly racist.
Racist. It's nice to see Santino back, but it's interesting to see what WWE's fine line is between racism and comedy and bullying and, like, assertion of power and stuff like that, you know, within the WWE. But, I mean, Jinder Mahal just got squashed by Santino Marella in this match. Like, surely future endeavors are in order.
They've split him and Carly up.
Yep.
He's been squashed by Santino.
Yep.
He
has no heat whatsoever. Yeah, he doesn't get any reaction from the crowd. People do not know who he is or care.
He puts on some pretty shit matches. And I think he's
not very good.
And
he's clearly on the juice, can I just say. Yeah. He's always so fucking vascular when he comes out. I mean, I'm sorry. This dude,
it's either that or he literally dehydrates himself so that all of his veins pop.
What's more likely?
Probably on the juice.
There we go. I'm sorry, but Jinder Mahal, you haven't impressed me at all. You haven't impressed Blind Tag. I expect you to get future endeavored soon.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
I'll be glad to see you off the TV, to be honest with you. I mean, you provide nothing for the show. I mean, this sounds really harsh, but, I mean, he could be interesting, I guess, if they allowed him to some chance to shine. But they've kind of given him an opportunity.
I think one of the problems is whenever he does talk, it's all in Indian.
Mm.
Which, just as somebody who doesn't speak Indian, not trying to sound racist, I just get bored because I have no idea what you're saying. You're just standing there, like what Santino said, he's just...
And, you know how we said that was racist when Santino was doing it?
No, I was just...
I know, you're making a point, you're illustrating a point.
I don't understand. It's like, would you expect people from Germany who don't speak a word of English, even though I know most people in Germany do, so that was a bad reference. But in a country, to be listening to us. They wouldn't know what we're talking about. They wouldn't know what we're saying.
You just kind of tune out.
Yeah, you just...
Because the problem is he rambles as well because he's supposed to be angry. So he's just kind of yelling in Punjabi and you're just like, I have no idea what you're saying. I also don't care.
I can see that you're angry, but now you're being squashed by Santino.
Yeah.
So you're an angry big man that's very weak.
Yeah. To get squashed by Santino, I mean, that's put a pin in it. You know, that's just done. Sorry, Jinder.
Apparently, Santino's Twitter, though, he was saying, yeah, I'm back, and he wants to go after the Intercontinental belt again.
Who was that, sorry?
Santino.
Oh, yeah.
He was saying one of his greatest titles was when he was the Intercontinental
champion.
When
he was the Milan Miracle.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
He said he wants to go back to it, so... But that was not a warning to Cody. He's not saying, I'm coming after you, Cody. It was just him,
just saying.
Like, out of kayfabe, just saying, I want to get that belt back.
Fair enough. After that, they show a Brodus Clay package. Can you believe that? Apparently, that was trending worldwide on Twitter afterwards.
Yeah, because he just disappeared. He'd done a couple of weeks.
I think he went to SmackDown. He went to Superstars. Where he went. He disappeared. Basically, I think that unless they die, if they disappear, they're on Superstars or NXT. The WWE then show a Miz and R-Truth YouTube video as they apologize, which is pretty cool, kind of integrating social media, which I'm a big fan of anyway. I thought it was really funny. The only reason I made a real point of this is because in the bottom left-hand corner of this, it says "Kayfabe lives," which I thought was really, really funny.
The top-rated comment on the video.
Yeah. And it made it onto the WWE programming. So I think that that's pretty amazing, to be honest with you. Next up is another match. It's got Mason Ryan, who I remember when people were referring to him quite fairly as Batista.
Yeah.
You know, and he is. He looks just like him. Like, physically, he's built like him. Even in facial-wise, yeah, he almost looks a bit like him, too. I mean, if you get a faux hawk, like a mohawk and back tattoos.
I think that's one of the reasons he's growing his hair, just to try and hide it a little bit.
Yeah. I think he'll always have a problem getting over because of his accent. I know it sounds stupid, but he will. Because he's this big dude, big burly motherfucker who sounds like, boyo, I'm Welsh, boyo. Right? Because that's how they sound. No offense, Welshman. My sister is dating a Welshman. It's all right. That gives me an excuse. That gives me a justified reason.
She's got a kid with a Welshman.
She does. I dread when she starts talking, because she'll be like, hey, boyo. Boyo, boyo. Just like that. I've been there. I visited them. Everybody punctuates every sentence with boyo. It's really confusing. Right, so, I mean, obviously, this is a match that clearly is a bit of a precursor to Survivor Series, because this is the 12-man tag, isn't it? And it's kind of showing off what Survivor Series will be like when it comes around in November time. Otunga and Mason Ryan are similar pretty much in every sense, right? Now, hear me out on this, because I know at first it might sound a bit weird, because, you know, they're both kind of physically different, even though they're both quite built up and whatnot. They're similar in the sense that they're both suddenly propelled into the main event. You know, like, Mason Ryan came out and then he turned his back on,
Ziggler and Swagger.
Yeah, that's right, to become a face on his return. Apparently, he was spending time on Superstars as well, which I didn't know about.
I thought he was injured.
He was injured, but apparently he was on Superstars for a short time before moving back up. Moving on up. But, I thought it was kind of weird. Because, like, Otunga's the same. They've repackaged him, stuck a bow tie on him, and now he's in the main event, you know? It's a shame, because McGillicuddy's not going to be around much longer unless they take him away, repackage him as Kurt Hennig's son, finally, and just let him come in and be the son of Mr. Perfect, you know, instead of repackaging him as this Michael McGillicuddy. Like, what kind of name is that in the first place, you know? No wonder everybody thought he was fucking boring. But, yeah, I mean, what do you think about that, the fact that they've both suddenly been propelled right into the main event?
Don't know, it's a bit weird. As we were talking before about David Otunga and saying it's nice of him to pay his dues, with the links that he's got, he could easily be like, oh, this isn't good enough, I want to be at the top. And he obviously wasn't doing that. But now I think he paid his dues and he's worked up there. Mm. And he's not top of the main event, but he's up there.
He's rubbing shoulders.
Yeah.
And he's also involved with the big main eventers.
Yeah.
You know, he's their legal counsel.
He's not wrestling against them. He's being the legal counsel. So it depends how long until he's actually in the ring winning matches and in belt running.
He needs to drop the bow tie, though.
Yeah, I think he looks a little bit like the son of cross between Mr. T and, oh, crap, what's his name? Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, you said that before. Yeah, I said he looked a little bit like Urkel.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, at the end of this match, which I thought was actually quite a long match, don't you think? Do you remember? I thought it was quite long from my memory. But everyone kills everyone with their signature moves and finishers.
Which is always what happens in these type of matches.
Exactly.
You have a bit of wrestling, it's only everyone runs in.
I mean, there's another match like that the week after.
Knocks someone out, and then somebody else comes in and finishes, and then they're out of the ring.
Exactly. And it happens again, I think, on one of the SmackDowns or the next Raw, but the exact same thing breaks down. It's pretty stupid because it's so predictable.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, of course, who has to come out to finish the show but Triple H yet again?
Oh, I thought it was Kung Fu Naki.
Nope. Sorry, Kung Fu Naki, he's gone, unfortunately. He should be the new CEO, though. He'd fix everything. Trips trying to appeal to the WWE Universe the way that he did, honestly, it made me feel slightly sick with how sycophantic he was being. Like a real fucking suck-up, you know? It's way too much of like, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all you, you know, all that shit. And it was just too much. Don't you think?
There's a little bit of a lot of
yeah.
of arse licking. Like, well, just towards the the fans, to the universe.
I mean, there's getting yourself over as a face, and then there's really sucking up, which I thought was what he was doing. I thought, you know, it's time for Barrett to try and shine on the mic against Triple H, which was a nice little touch. Barrett, although I think he is incredibly boring, to be honest with you. I know you're a fan of Barrett.
Yeah.
I think he's really boring.
I think he needs a bit of improvement, but I think
he's not too bad on the mic. That was the point I was going to make. He's actually not too bad on the mic.
I think that's why he was the leader of the Nexus, though, and everything, wasn't it? Because during NXT, they realized how good he was on the mic.
Mm. That's why, that's right. Yeah. That's why he was the leader of the Nexus
as
well. He was
the one that could do all the talking.
And then I'm going to read out these notes that I put pretty much in order because it's pretty funny to read. Just looking back, I go, "Oh snap! Triple H is getting kicked the fuck out." And I go, "No confidence. Is this a roster-wide walkout?" And then obviously that's exactly what happened a couple minutes later. Everyone leads, including the commentators and cameramen, which I thought was kind of a neat touch, just the camera being placed down and stuff like that. But I know that as poor as a Raw as this actually was in retrospect, like I thought it was all right, but then I'm reading the notes now and like, what did it really do? What did it really benefit being the first one off of Hell in a Cell as well?
Yeah, I think the end of it though, like all the way through, I was like, this is a bit not that great. It's a bit generic. But the end where everyone walks out made me want to see what happened next week.
Exactly.
That's what dragged us back in.
Exactly right.
Like, shit, what are they going to do? They've got no commentators, no cameramen, no referees, no wrestlers.
Well, let's find out what some of their excuses were on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back after this. For something to do this Halloween for FW Wrestling as they have their next event hosted on the 29th of October featuring ex-WWE superstar Dick Togo taking on Benham Ali. It takes place at Greens Drive Leisure Center, which is at Greens Drive Stratton in Swindon. Make sure to check out more information at www.4fw-online.com or give them a call at 077-692-74248. Ringside seats cost £15, general at £10. Doors open at 6:30 and the event itself starts at 7 o'clock sharp. How about that? How professional did that fucking sound for our first advert for our friends over at 4FW, which stands for Forefront Wrestling, by the way. I did want, for them to have, like, some sort of audio that we could drop in or anything like that, but in lieu of that, I just figured we record our own adverts for them until they provide that. Hopefully, there will be links to Blind Tag Podcast on their website as well, so be sure to check them out, and in turn, be sure to tell them that we sent you.
And remember, anyone who mentions Blind Tag Podcast will get a free margarita.
Free margaritas may not be accepted if you mention blindtagpodcast.com.
Yeah, that's not actually true. But mention us anyway, see what happens.
It'd be nice to see if you could get a free margarita or appletini or something manly like that. Cool. Well, let's move on to SmackDown, 7th of October, 2011. So SmackDown begins this week with a nice little segment between T-Lo and Zack Ryder getting his face on TV at least. You know, just like Drew McIntyre, at least Zack Ryder's on TV. And they kind of talk about the walkout a little bit and how it's going to try and not affect SmackDown. What do you think? Do you think they set up the show well enough or what?
Yeah, it's like the show, obviously, Zack Ryder was coming out and saying, because T-Lo had been on the phone with Triple H, Zack Ryder was saying, oh, did he mention me?
Yeah.
But the problem with that is, obviously, at the end of Raw, after it went off air, Zack Ryder had walked come back out, tried doing some promotional for his online show, and he got the pedigree
for his troubles.
So he mentioned that and said, oh, I was just trying to do what I thought was best. No one would have seen it apart from the people in the arena, so there might have been a lot of people sitting about going, what's he talking about? If you don't know.
It might be on his show, yeah. I would imagine it would be. But then after that, the major heel group talking about Raw's walkout takes center stage. And, you know, at this point, I do think they need some sort of official name to help us instead of going, and here are all the heels, you know, who are all the major bad guys. And this is when I made the initial note that it does feel, again, it feels like a little kid's play. Every time that they come out and all talk, they all have a line each and don't step forward until their time, just like we were talking about earlier. And it makes it look a little bit awkward, to be honest with you, because it doesn't feel completely genuine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when one of them's talking, the others are just standing in the ring. They're all in line. They're not walking around.
It's not waiting for their turn to speak.
Yeah, they're not just leaning on the ropes, having interaction with the crowd. Because that could be good if they were walking around the ring, getting out, going and shouting.
It's literally that they're all in a line as well, yeah. Kind of like how Nexus used to do it.
Especially like people in the crowd are booing. If, say, Swagger's talking, the others could be walking around, people are booing. They could be going, I'm going, shut up, he's talking, you listen, sort of thing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Interact with the crowd a little bit more, make yourself be a bit more of a heel.
Absolutely.
Rather than stand there, hands by your sides, feet together, at attention.
Waiting for your turn to talk.
Like, you're not in the army. Yeah. You're bad people. You're supposed to do bad things.
Well, I mean, they stay in the ring after that point, and it segues nicely into the next match, which is Del Rio versus Sin Cara. It's a few weeks late, because obviously this was what we were supposed to get, but then Del Rio got caught up in Mexico with visa issues.
Yeah.
But we're finally getting it, and I, for one, thought it was going to be a pretty good match. I wanted it to be a really good Mexican match, but just like with the Sin Cara versus Sin Cara match, I'm kind of surprised of the style that they did kind of wrestle. They were going back and forth big time. There were a few really good highlight moves, like the released German suplex that Del Rio landed on him was pretty brutal. It looked like he landed right on his neck, not his back and shit like that. It was already, as a match, it was much, much better than Sin Cara versus Sin Cara match, I thought. I kind of thought it was a shame it didn't go on longer because, you know, all the way throughout, what was the one thing you were kind of expecting, waiting for?
The elbow.
No.
I was always waiting for the elbow, Drew. I know you're talking about other Sin Cara.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I thought it was inevitable that he'd come out, but, you know, I thought he was going to interrupt the match, but instead he waited until after the match. You know, I think it was a bit of a shame considering how good a match these two could have wrestled, and it was over pretty quick, and it ended with the armbar, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then Black Sin Cara came out to take advantage, and, you know, it was pretty obvious he was going to show up. I mean, that was pretty predictable. But at the same time, that's no bad thing because hopefully it's leading towards a rematch of Vengeance, you know, and hopefully we'll be able to see them have a proper Sin Cara match now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think having a proper match between the two of them, allowing them to fight in the Mexican style and do their own stuff, I think it could be really good. The match at Hell in a Cell, just such a letdown.
Yeah. Again, I think that it was partly the crowd as well.
Yeah,
like, the crowd didn't understand. The crowd didn't know who to root for, really. The crowd just didn't get it, you know, and that ultimately reflected in the match, and people weren't as into it as they could have or should have been. Okay, so moving on. Evan Bourne. I know that you're a big fan of, like, Kofi and Air Boom as a whole, but Evan really needs to work on his mic skills. Like, this little promo was pretty shit poor. It's lucky that Kofi was there to carry him in that sense, because, like, Kofi is actually pretty good on the mic.
I think Bourne's just not had enough practice. He's so used to being in squash matches.
Mm.
It must be good for him to have a belt. Like, he must be feeling so happy right now.
Yeah. They come out for their match after the little promo. They finally have a tag team theme. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they changed the music, huh?
Yeah. I think I mentioned that they needed something like that to even make them feel even more like a team. But, you know, Air Boom, they come out, they finally have their own tag team music, but it's not like we can appreciate it for very long because, oh, look, here comes Ziggler and Swagger. I was going to say Zagler.
Should we just call him Zagler?
Zagler, yeah, I like it. Or Swiggler?
Swiggler. Yep.
Zagler sounds like a David Bowie thing, don't you think? David Bowie. But yeah, if they were a celebrity couple, that's what their name would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. This is a bit of a non-sequitur match, wasn't it? Because nothing happened. All I've got here is a sarcastic comment about the fact that Lime Green and Baby Blue don't go together, and I now know this because of Kofi Kingston. So thanks, Kofi. You've saved me from that horrible fashion debacle. Do you have anything to add about that?
Not really.
These shows, I mean, it's pretty dry. These shows haven't been that great, have they?
Not really, no. They've been a bit generic, a little bit kind
predictable.
But they're not building up to anything big because they've got, like, this time of year, it seems to be 2 weeks.
Pay-per-view, right?
2 weeks pay-per-view, 8 days pay-per-view. It's like, really?
It's too
much. They haven't got enough time to build anything up, really.
See, I think that should be the next No DQ discussion, which is something we've not had for a while.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a really interesting topic. Like, are we being oversaturated by their product? And I honestly think we do. And it's just going to get worse when the WWE Network launches. You know, it's all WWE all the time. You know, it's pretty cool. But at the same time, do we need that much in our lives? Let us know. Hit us up at blindtagpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us @blindtagpodcast. And, of course, be sure to check out our site at blindtagpodcast.com. WWE.com. So next up, that they show is a Big Show promo. It does a great job of reintegrating him into the story and getting Henry over as a monster heel, I thought. Like, I usually skip over these promos, but I actually thought it was pretty good. Oh, sorry. His promo is good, actually. Really good back and forth between Mark Henry and Show is what follows from that. And I think it really develops the story, the revenge story for him. Because, I mean, for the pay-per-view Vengeance, it makes a lot of sense. The Big Show would want vengeance, wouldn't he? And so would Kane. You know, let's not forget about Kane.
Carly. He took out Carly, didn't he, as well? Mm-hmm. He's taken out all of the monsters.
And then we have this really weird mishmash match between Jinder Mahal and Ezekiel Jackson. And then it was over and nobody cares.
Yep,
That's about it.
Ezekiel Jackson's had that as well. He came in with, obviously, the core. And then he left the core, and he got the belt, and then he lost the belt.
Now, where is he?
No one cares. He's just dropped back down. He's hardly ever there.
Mm.
But he wasn't getting over, and his matches were so... I mean, what was he doing? Like, four body slams?
This match was just body slams.
Yeah,
body slams and a clothesline.
Yeah, that's all he does. Clothesline, body slam, body slam, body slam. Torture back.
Yeah.
Smile.
It's fucking boring. That's what it is. He has no... wrestling ability, he has no real skill. I mean, when he won the belt, I was surprised at the reaction he got. It was actually pretty positive, but obviously not enough to keep the push going. And to be honest with you, I don't think he really deserves it anymore. You know, because like you say, he's a one-trick pony. He's got two moves. That's less than Cena, for fuck's sake.
Shit, I didn't even look at it that way.
Yeah, he's got less of a move repertoire than John fucking Cena. So goodbye, Jinder Mahal. Goodbye, Ezekiel Jackson. I see you guys getting pink slip pretty soon. And who's next up on SmackDown, but your favorite? Hornswoggle makes his appearance just in time to reintroduce him for the Halloween show. And honestly, I think that's the only reason that they put him back on this show is because he's apparently petitioning online as well. He wants to get on that show.
He's a big Muppets fan. Apparently, he's just had a tattoo done of the Muppets.
Oh, yeah?
Apparently.
What the fuck is this little segment all about?
I have no idea.
What does he do? He does the spinneroonie with Booker T. Like, what's the point? What does this do apart from reintroduce him onto TV? And then he wasn't even on next week's show. Stupid. Doesn't make sense.
I think he should have been in the Battle Royal the other night.
Yeah, he could have won it. I think he could have taken it.
But then he could have taken on Mark Henry. I think he had more of a chance than... nah, fuck it.
And we got a super standard match between Sheamus and Orton versus Christian and Rhodes. To be honest with you, I found this match so standard and unmemorable. I can't even really recall it. It just seemed like every single man in that match was just going through the motions.
Yeah, no one really seemed to care. This is our match tonight. Let's go and do it.
Neither did the crowd by the looks of it. I can't believe this, but that's all I have to say about that match. Really?
There was four of them.
And then to end the show is the Mark Henry Big Show confrontation. And just like with the Raw we just talked about, it's the end of the show that's actually more interesting than any part of the show in itself. I mean, the show seems to still be way over with the crowd, which is surprising considering he's been gone for 4 months. I found it weird that Big Show, you know, coming back and being a big baby face, you know, would start assaulting security.
Yeah.
You know, that seems a bit weird. And then he puts Mark Henry through a table, which is pretty cool. And that obviously sets up his match with Mark Henry, which he gets at Vengeance. Like I said, in terms of building up a storyline towards the pay-per-view aptly called Vengeance, that makes perfect sense. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it does. It makes absolute sense.
I think the fault with these shows right now is the fact that the majority of the show is boring or standard. Like, standard isn't necessarily bad, don't get me wrong. But sometimes you need something a little bit more, a little tweak to get you more engaged. Whereas, like, the tag team match we just talked about was so standard, I barely find it memorable, you know? And they can't keep having their shows only have one highlight moment that makes you want to watch next week. It needs to be consistent throughout. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, every match should leave you wanting to see the fallout of that match.
Exactly. Everything should be building up towards something, whereas recently we seem to be getting none of that. And it's not until the last maybe 10, 15 minutes of the show, after the main event, that we're introduced to more story elements that we're invested in. be it the walkout on Raw or Mark Henry coming back, sorry, a Big Show coming back wanting his vengeance against Mark Henry. But I don't know. Right, we're going to talk about the last past week's worth of shows right after this.
Coming up on Friday the 4th of November is Grand Pro Wrestling Night of the Brave. This is at the Rose Club, formerly the Monocle Ballroom, on Atherton Road, Hindley, Wigan. Doors open at 7, show starts at 7:30. Tickets £7.50 general admission, £26 for a family ticket. More information can be found at www.gpwrestling.org.uk or phone them on 077-03-312-146. And again, tell them the Blind Tag Podcast has sent you.
Nice. Good job there, Tim.
Thank you.
Forgot your name for half a second.
I was glad again.
Yeah. That was good. Good job. Like I said, though, I mean, hopefully the next round of adverts that you guys will hear through our podcast will be, like, officially promoting them and stuff like that straight from them. Or at the very least, not have the same music over everything because we don't have the show's theme songs or anything like that. I've yet to get an email back from them. But we're so excited to be working with these people and have them as affiliates to the show, basically friends to Blind Tag Podcast. So I hope they'll be friends to you as well. You know, so be sure to check out all their shows. And we got one more advert coming up later after this next Raw segment, which we'll jump into right now. And once again, who's starting the show? Triple H.
Triple H really going
OTT with the Panto bullshit. Like, you made fun of it before, but yeah, this time around, it really was like a Panto. Which, you know, if people are not from the UK and they're listening to this right now, do you want to just give a brief breakdown of what a Panto is or consists of?
A pantomime is a very childish play. It involves the audience a lot. When the bad guy comes on, everyone in the audience has to hiss.
Yeah.
When the good guy comes on, everyone cheers. There's a lot of acting, like, oh, we have to find the cave. I wonder where it is. And they're looking about the stage and all the kids are, it's behind you.
Yeah,
is it over here? No. Is it over there? No. Where could it be? It's behind you. I actually really enjoy pantomimes.
But this just kind of reminded me. Yeah, you're about the right mental age. But yeah, this just kind of reminded me of, like, of that. I mean, is Triple H so insecure that he needs to be told like 3 times that he shouldn't quit? You know, like, he's basically going out going like, worship me, me, I'm amazing. Or should I go? I mean, do you guys even like me? And everyone's going like, we love you, don't leave. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid.
See him, like, throwing out the fish hooks and just reading in for compliments.
Yeah. I mean, he was really fucking going for it. I mean, you're Triple H. People like you. You don't have to, like, be like, oh, do you guys even like me? Jeez. Fuck off. I don't like you anymore with that fucking attitude. And then Cena comes out and, you know, he's spouting predictable bullshit, you know, about the WWE Universe, about what he does is for them, but he doesn't whatever. And I was a bit surprised to see Sheamus come out. I didn't expect him.
I liked Sheamus's promo as well, where he was saying, you were doing your speech on your best mate retiring. I came and hit you with a lead pipe. You came back, and I'm not afraid to say, you gave me the biggest beating I've ever had. I was like, that's actually quite, like, you haven't ignored the fact that you two had a massive rivalry. Mm-hmm. You come out and said, and that the fact that you did that, that was it. You came back, you beat me up, we moved on.
Yeah.
Means I respect you. I don't like you that much, but I respect what you're saying.
When Sheamus was doing that.
I was like, that worked really well.
Yeah, absolutely. When Sheamus was doing that promo, you could see on Triple H's face, like, he was so proud of him. Because, like, let's not forget that Sheamus is, like, Triple H's protege.
Yeah.
Like, all those rumors before of, like, Triple H wanting to give Sheamus the push, putting him under his wing and stuff like that. That's why he won the belt as quickly as he did, was because Triple H was so fond of him, you know? And Vince as well, because obviously Vince is Irish-American by blood. Yeah, I thought so too. I thought it was a nice little throwback to Sheamus the lead pipe. And like you say, it's not ignoring history, which is nice, which is what the WWE are so fond of doing, is pretending shit didn't happen.
We spoke about before in a big
no DQ discussion that we've already done. And stuff like, you know, like they did it before, but at Punk's idea when they brought back the Punk Orton rivalry. And that works so well because it's referencing history. You know, it makes sense. And it makes you realize that there's a whole wealth of backstory here that people just are expected to forget and move on from. Punk on commentary is a cool idea. I mean, I know you were a big fan of Punk on commentary. Yeah. This is when Triple H is obviously assigning roles for everybody.
It was a little bit childish the way Punk, like when he said, "Oh, you can commentate." Punk's face is like, "Can I put on your jacket?" It looked like he was playing up to the pantomime as well.
A little panto.
And I don't know whether he was doing that just to try and take the piss a little bit,
probably,
or whether he was just, I don't know, just not.
What's stupid? What I found a bit stupid, a bit short-sighted by Punk or Punk's character. Is the fact that, you know, I made a note here that, you know, Punk comes out now, and this is a huge face-off. Just nothing but faces in the ring. Yeah. But then he cut a promo saying, "I know you're a little bit surprised to see me." Because, obviously, in his mind, he's still that shade of gray.
Yeah, but
he's
really not.
He's a baby face. Yeah. He comes out, he gets massively cheered. He's tagging with John Cena in matches. Dude, you're a fucking baby face now. That's it. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing because I do like some faces as well. Obviously, I'm more interested in the heels. I've always found them to be more interesting. But as far as you go, Punk, you're now a baby face. I've said it once. I'll say it again. The worst thing you could have done was come back as quickly as you did. I mean, you know how we were making fun of the fact that the group of heels all felt like a kid's play, waiting for their line and stuff like that? Well, didn't this feel a little bit like a bunch of 14-year-olds, like, assigning roles before they pretend to wrestle?
Yeah.
Like, it's like you and me going, like, if we had, like, Brad round, I'm like, "Okay, Tim, you're a referee. I'm going to be Randy Savage, and Brad, you're Tatanka." Just like that.
It was a little bit, yeah.
It felt so stupid. It didn't feel like a multi-million-dollar corporation at that point. It felt like we were watching, like, if it wasn't for the quality of it, it could have been, like, on YouTube. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the overall feeling of it. But, I mean, I understand what they were trying to get across. It was that attitude of, like, I don't care what happens. We're going to put on a show because we love you fans.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And, like, what is it Triple H said? "I'll wrestle a mop, a broom."
It was a boom. And it was like, "I've wrestled most of the people in the parking lot, and the broom will probably put up more of a fight."
Sick burn. Yeah. Sick burn. I had a really kind of tentative note here where I said, are we going to see an hour match between Cena and Sheamus? Because I don't think they could do that. I really don't think they'd be able to do that. And then, well, look who comes back out.
Kung Fu Naki.
Nope. Once again, not Kung Fu Naki. Vincent Kennedy McMahon is back, which we obviously all knew was about to happen at some point because of how he was blowing up when Del Rio dropped his name. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And he apparently got really fucking angry about that, got his panties in a twist. But, you know, he's back, as we all knew he would be. And as soon as he starts coming out, there's a "You Got Fired" chant. Did you hear that? That was pretty good. I enjoyed that. It's nice to see that the fans remember, you know, which is exactly what we're talking about right here. Although, ironically enough, what they're asking them to not remember in the announcement of a new interim Raw general manager, what are the WWE asking the fans to forget?
That Triple H, the general Raw manager.
There we go, the anonymous Raw general manager.
Yeah.
Raw already has a general manager. He just happens to be anonymous. And now apparently he's not there at all and they've refused to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Did you think about that?
I did pick up on that.
There we go. Well, I did. That's why I'm here, Tim. I'm not just good looks. But anyway, let's move on from that. I mean, I just think, again, and this ties in with the whole, like, why did WWE feel the need to rewrite history, which is, again, another past No DQ discussion. So be sure to check that out if you want to know our opinions on that. But it just frustrates me because the Raw general manager was only on the show a couple weeks ago. The podium was still there, not on this night, but, like, now they have an interim Raw general manager. It's just kind of stupid what they expect of their audience, how they treat their audience. You know, at the same time, though, I don't blame people for forgetting because we all have stuff going on in our lives. You know, wrestling is a lot of fun to watch and stuff like that. But, you know, unless you're really obsessive, it's not going to be the be all end all where you remember absolutely every minute detail that happens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if the Raw General Manager isn't mentioned for like 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to forget because there's so much stuff happening elsewhere on the show.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a locomotive.
They started bringing back guest host managers as well.
Yeah.
With
Hugh Jackman.
And then they've got the Muppets come back. So they just completely ignored that.
Thankfully, it's less often because I think it ran its course.
Yeah, it really did.
You know. But I guess let's move on here. Two notes for this first match. It's Christian versus John Morrison. No, Christian squashes John Morrison. It wasn't even a match, was it?
No, not at all.
And they did that in their street clothes, didn't they?
Yeah, because they came straight in, straight down to the ring.
Ridiculous.
But obviously, the rest of the faction with no name got involved.
The faction with no name, I like that. Yeah, exactly. But still, Jomo sinks further down.
Yeah.
Even though he got camera time, you know, he had that little altercation with John Laurinaitis where he told him that he absolutely sucks, which reminded me of Chael Sonnen at the recent UFC 136, I think it was. He actually calls out Anderson Silva at the end of the fight. You've been wanting to,
to
a fight recently to get you back into it. Well, that was so WWE. That was so sports entertainment because he won his fight against Brian Stann, who's no walkover. That dude's a big, tough dude. With knockout power. And Chael Sonnen at the end just got on the mic and just said, Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck. And then he cut a promo on him, challenging him. And he said, if you lose, you have to leave the weight division. If I lose, I will leave the UFC forever.
What? He's kind of like a proper... Is he been
That's
talking
a proper
Brock?
WWE
yeah,
thing,
that really
isn't it?
Is, isn't it?
That's awesome. That maybe I love that though. I
That's
thought it was so entertaining.
As bad as if you lose, you have to shave your head.
Yeah.
If I lose, I'll shave mine. I just hair thought, versus hair.
I thought it was good. Well, Anderson Silva's already bald.
Yeah. Yes.
Shave mask versus hair. He'll fight in a mask for one fight only.
Shorts versus hair. You have to fight naked.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that fight if he takes it. But yeah, whatever. Moving on, Cody Rhodes comes out wanting vengeance against Orton. You know, he runs out as well. It makes perfect sense to me. In this respect, there's only a few stories that make perfect sense going into Vengeance, and that is Mark Henry versus Big Show, because that's personal.
Yep.
And Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton is a potential big, big opportunity for Cody Rhodes to really cement himself in the main event, thanks to Randy Orton. And it happened by accident.
Just because Randy Orton accidentally cracked his head open.
Exactly. He should take full advantage of it. What he should be doing that he's not, and I'm surprised that he's not, is he should be going on about how Randy Orton further scarred him or disfigured him.
Yeah.
Because he's not really done that. He's just been talking about the 9 stitches or staples that he's had, but really he should be talking about how they've made him even more hideous.
Yeah.
I mean, it ties in with his personality, doesn't it?
Good call.
What doesn't fit in, though, is Orton dominating Mark Henry during that little match together. After everything?
Yeah.
After everything that they've gone through together with that little program, Orton to just completely fucking own Mark Henry during this match, it makes no sense.
No, not at all. Unless you could just say Mark wasn't ready for a fight.
Still stupid,
he thought
though.
He was going to be on the picket line.
I mean, ultimately, I can't help but feel like Orton dominating Mark Henry was less to do with their feud and more to do with establishing a future feud between Orton and Cody Rhodes, you know? Which, again, I mean, it's got to be said, this might be a little bit of a left-field comment, but poor, poor Ted DiBiase. Because, you know, when he lost at Night of Champions, we both assumed that that wasn't the end of it. It'll go on further into a further storyline.
He's disappeared.
He's gone!
Was DiBiase even in the 41-man Battle Royal?
I think he was, but I can't say for sure.
I'm not completely sure.
I think he was.
I think so. I think he got eliminated by one of the middlemen.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I just think it sucks for Ted DiBiase because, again, I mean, everybody who listens knows I'm pretty high on Ted DiBiase. I think he could be doing so much more than where he is. And it just frustrates me because not on his behalf, but because the WWE can't see the talent that's right in front of them sometimes. You know,
like what we were saying earlier about forgot his name. McIntyre.
Oh, McIntyre.
McIntyre.
Yeah.
He had someone else that's got potential, but just.
Well, he came in with a huge push. Well, technically, so did DiBiase. They both came in to huge intros, but I mean, like, it just boggles my mind that WWE would spend time and money grooming these guys. Yeah. I say grooming politically correctly here, you know, in order for superstardom, and then just drop them, you know, and do nothing with them. It's just stupid. But anyway, let's move on. Divas, Eve, and Kelly win. Doesn't matter, because here's John Laurinaitis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They have a match, and then as soon as they won, the music goes off, and then it cuts off, and John Laurinaitis comes out. This is how much the Divas matter. Do you get me?
Well, a little while ago, it was just Michael Cole interrupting every match.
Yeah, he'd be cutting them down, slating them throughout.
And stand up and be like, can we get this over with?
But of course, the big thing from John Laurinaitis coming out is the fact that JR is fired again. Yeah. In his hometown, no less, which is pretty awful. And if Twitter is to be believed, which, you know, at this point is kind of conjecture, because I know that they use social media in order to further stories, JR apparently didn't expect it coming. He didn't know it was coming.
Yeah, his wife was seen.
Yeah, that's right.
On the side. And apparently they'd kept it secret from everyone that was going
to
happen.
Apparently the script changed up to 8 times in the run-up to Raw. Which is pretty crazy. They couldn't make up their mind. And I'll tell you what, it fucking shows, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does. You need a solid... As somebody who wants to be a writer, you need a solid script to work with, right? I know this. But, I mean, okay, once again, I don't want to be one of the shows that just, like, complain about everything, because obviously...
It seems to be what we've done this week.
Though. I know. This but show, unfortunately, seems really negative, but...
If you listen to all of it, you can see that we're not usually like this. It's just recently things...
It's just been pretty poor.
I'm sure
like, Hell in a Cell was awful.
Like, actually, everything that we moaned about last time makes perfect sense now. It's all played out.
Well, the next show we'll be reviewing is Vengeance itself. Yeah. We'll be doing that on the Monday after Vengeance airs. But I don't know. I mean, just in general build-up terms, I think it's been pretty poor, except for like literally one or two moments that stand out. I mean, but then think about it logically, right? This is 6 hours worth of television we're talking about for maybe 10 minutes worth of stuff that sticks in our minds. Has that been worth the 6 hours of your life that you've dedicated to
Actually,
it?
Actually, 8. It's 4 shows at 2 hours each.
Not the way I watch them. They're an hour and a half.
Oh, okay. Then.
Yeah.
Oh,
I watch them advert free.
Yeah. Do you still have the from the Vault matches on SmackDown the way you watch it?
I skipped through it. I just fast forwarded through it.
Cool.
But I don't get JR's firing. And apparently, I just saw on Twitter yesterday. JR's been spotted in Mexico for their Raw tour, which is obviously one of the big reasons they wanted Del Rio to be champion at this point in time as well, is for when they went to Mexico. And apparently, he's been spotted, and Jordan Laurinaitis has confirmed that he is there. So who knows what's happening with that?
But. Will he be begging for his job back, or will he be confronted?
We'll have to wait and see. But I'm hoping JR's not gone. He's not been working on the three-man announced team. That much is obvious.
Yeah.
He seems quieter than usual in the past, but I don't know what that's about. I think maybe it's because just Michael Cole is so much more in your face as well. But I just think that JR needs to be on a two-man announced team. That's what suits him best. But I don't know. I hope this isn't the last of JR that we see. But I guess we'll just have to wait and find out. Just a quick note, because he's on TV next. Who is he wrestling against? Mason Ryan. Who is he fighting?
Mason Ryan was teamed up with Air Boom. He was taking on David Otunga, Jack Swagger, and Ziggler. Or as we like to call him, Swaggler.
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 Nice. Yeah, I mean, the only note I wanted to make about this match, I mean, again, this is just like the tag match with SmackDown. Not exactly memorable, to be honest with you. Mason Ryan looked to me like he was literally about to explode out of his skin.
He's looking pumped up.
Yeah, he just looked like his muscles were going to burst. Like, do you remember that? There's a documentary on in this channel, like maybe a couple years ago, called "The Man Whose Arms Exploded."
Yeah,
or something like that. It looks like it's going to do that. He's going to go that way. He's going to fucking explode, dude. Here's a question for you, just quickly. Does it make sense to have the "Don't Be a Bully" campaign directly followed by the Brodus Clay package, where he's beating up and bullying everybody in sight?
No, that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
It doesn't, does it? Not really. No. Pretty poor decision on the WWE's front.
I'm looking forward to Brodus coming in.
I hate his shitty mohawk, and he looks like Dr. Eggman. That's his body shape, you know, like Dr. Robotnik.
With the push he's getting, all the video packages, he could be coming in quite good. It could work well. No, I'm not looking forward because I'm a big fan of his. I'm looking forward to it as in I want to see what happens. I want to see where
Surely he's just another Mark Henry. Think about it logically.
Probably, yeah.
Like, if you boil it down to his basic elements, he's just another big dude with a bad attitude who wants to beat people up.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Maybe. now I'm not looking forward to it.
Sorry.
You ruined my fun. You ruined my life. That's it.
I'm not your father, Tim. Stop it. All right, let's move on.
Alberto Del Rio versus CM Punk.
In a non-title match, despite Punk's potential legitimate rematch claims, because, you know, he never got a one-on-one rematch against Del Rio for taking it. He got put into the triple threat.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I mean, technically, should he be allowed a one rematch as well?
I don't know. Technically, that was his rematch. That was his shot at it. Like,
yeah, I guess that is true.
Yeah.
I
think if he starts moaning, he just goes, he ends up turning into Christian and saying, oh, I never got my real chance. Give me one more chance.
One more match.
And then it's, yeah.
I think the problem with what happens next during this match, when John Laurinaitis comes out, I think the WWE are confusing good storytelling with swerves, right?
Yeah.
It's feeling too much like WCW. And back in the day, I think it was called a, what was it called? It was Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. I think it was called like a Rhodes swerve or something like that. Because basically every card that he booked, you know, somebody was going to swerve. Somebody was going to turn on somebody and shit like that.
Yeah.
In order to, quote unquote, make it more exciting rather than just predictable and obvious because we know what's coming. And which in this case, it was pretty obvious. As soon as he came out and said, I've rehired two people who were unfairly fired or whatever the fuck he said, yeah. Right? Who else would it have been except for Miz and R-Truth? Unless it was Taka Michinoku and Kung Funaki.
I was thinking Melina
yeah.
And Gail Kim, who did actually get fired. She quit.
Yeah. Although, according to Brad, she's still on the Divas roster page, and I think
she's recently been taken off.
Oh, has she?
Yeah, because they kept her on there. I think they kept her on there until her contract ended or something like that.
Mm.
But she's recently been taken off, and she's now been able to be free to do interviews and say what she wants. She said she's never going back to WWE. She hates it there. She's done it twice. She feels that they mistreat her. And she actually spoke about when she went into hand in, I know it was 10 minutes before the Diva Battle Royal where she eliminated herself straight away.
What? Did she? When was that?
Apparently, it was a couple of weeks ago, obviously, a couple of months ago probably now.
Yeah, dude, I don't even remember that.
I'd probably fast-forwarded it, to be fair. We didn't pay much attention. But yeah, she said, like, yeah, it was a little bit childish, but they disrespected her for so long. And like,
she can wrestle. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Like, I've said that a few times this show. But like in TNA, that chick can wrestle.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's the same with Mickie James. Mickie James wrestled Trish Stratus when she first came in, like 05, 06. And they actually had a pretty good storyline going. You know, where Mickie James was a bit of a lesbian psycho who was in love with Trish Stratus.
Apparently she got in trouble for making a gesture towards Trish Stratus during that match afterwards. Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. She pretended like she was licking her out or something like that.
Yeah. Vince went mental backstage afterwards, apparently.
But what I find weird about the match, going back to that right now, is the fact that, you know, Punk, who we've just established earlier, is now big-time babyface, has to tag with heel Del Rio against two heels in Miz and R-Truth.
Yeah.
Right? So booking-wise, that's kind of weird, kind of mismatch. But of course, Del Rio does turn, and eventually he leaves, you know, claiming an injury. Which I thought was pretty funny. I will admit, I thought it was funny when Michael Cole said he's got a well-documented history of knee problems or something like that, which he obviously fucking doesn't. I thought it was pretty good. How awkward is the rap song that they do, though? Like, Miz and R-Truth.
R-Truth can rap. He's got a good flow. But yeah, it's just Miz with him, like,
you suck.
You suck. It's like me trying to rap. I can't do it, so I don't. Like,
but I mean, I hate it because like Miz really has to play second fiddle to R-Truth during the rap, and Miz is the star of that group, of that team. I mean, technically, in my opinion, I mean, I'm a huge Miz fan anyway, but Miz shouldn't be in another tag team. He left John Morrison for a reason and became the bigger star and became a world champion. So why is he going backwards into a tag team situation with another struggling upper mid-carder? You know, R-Truth though, because only about a year and a half ago, he would have been a mid-carder if not a jobber. So, you know, good for him in that regard. The match also ended pretty sloppily, I thought. Just like, you know, because it was a DQ.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny because Charles Robinson, the referee, only got to a count of one before the bell started ringing like crazy. He didn't even get to five or whatever it was to DQ the Miz and R-Truth. And then obviously there's the beatdown, and then the end of Raw comes with a really long, awkward pause because John Laurinaitis and David Otunga are watching the screen, unaware that they've cut to them.
Yeah.
So they're just standing there waiting for their cue and then finally talk, and it just took ages to do so. And wasn't it during this brief little exchange that Laurinaitis announced that Triple H and Punk would take on Truth and R-Miz for vengeance?
Yep.
Which, again, let's be honest here. let's be honest here, it does kind of make sense for Vengeance once again, because every match I think they're going in with this theme that people need revenge on people. And I love that because it makes good story and booking sense. Yeah. But the only problem here is Punk has nothing to do with this. Right?
He happens to be getting beat down every now and then.
Yeah, I mean,
so unless it's because obviously Leo Nias isn't a fan of Triple H, he doesn't like him. So maybe because of the heat between Triple H and Punk, he thought, well, if Triple H is going to team with somebody to take on these two, I'll team in with somebody who doesn't like him.
Surely, what would make more sense, as far as storyline wise goes and character wise, because obviously John Laurinaitis is a heel GM. You know, which is nice because we've had a face GM for too long now.
Yeah.
But the anonymous general manager was a good guy. He would make all the matches for the faces and be against the heels. But it would make more sense for him to put him into a handicap match. Just Truth and Miz versus Triple H, because Truth and Miz blamed Triple H, didn't they? And they beat him down at Hell in a Cell and all that stuff. And then they apologized and said, we know now that you had nothing to do with it, but it would make more sense if they didn't mean that, if they were disingenuous, and that would make a handicap match would make much more sense than simply putting Punk in. Yeah.
But I guess it's because obviously Punk's not got another match because Cena versus, is it Cena, Del Rio for the belt?
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously then Punk's not in the belt title. Nash isn't working, so he's not about. So Punk can't get any revenge on Nash. So the only people who's about for him to get revenge on is, Miz and Truth, because they have a couple of times came in and beat him down after his matches.
Yes, but I mean, so let's look at this logically.
It's a bit of a push, isn't it?
Let's look at this logically about who deserves their vengeance, like who deserves to win. Right, so Triple H and CM Punk versus the Miz and R-Truth. Miz and R-Truth surely deserve to win because they were fired unfairly by Triple H.
Yeah.
Right? Big Show versus Mark Henry. Big Show technically would make more sense to win.
I want Mark Henry to win.
I don't think Big Show will win. I think Mark Henry will win. Yeah. I mean, we can't really do Vengeance predictions right now because there are only three matches.
Yeah.
And what do you think? Del Rio versus John Cena. They don't really have... There's nothing vengeful between them.
This is a sucky thing. No, it's not really anything vengeful. It's just John Cena again going after the belt. I don't want John Cena to have the belt, but at the same time, Del Rio, they've now done their Mexican tour. There's no reason for him to have the belt.
I hope that's not as simple as that.
I hope it's not what they think, but there was that whole thing that they only gave him the belt for the Mexico tour.
That's true. All right. I've finished up with Raw. You happy to move on to SmackDown? We'll be right back after this last spot for one of our affiliates. If you happen to live in Scotland and have nothing to do in October, be sure to check out our friends, Scottish Wrestling Entertainment, SWE for short. You can check them out at sweonline.co.uk. They've just had an event go past on the 8th, and they've got another coming up on the 21st. 21st at the Ardmore Centre Complex in Dundee, Scotland. Ticket information, visit their website, or you can call up at 01-382-436-442. With the SWA and the Million Dollar Man making national news of Scotland, you know it will be worth checking out. All right, so let's jump onto SmackDown, which, you know, there's not much to say about this show, because to be honest with you, I think it was pretty awful from top to bottom, they were celebrating the show because it was the number two longest running episodic show behind Raw itself. And I've always found these stats and this information to be kind of completely fabricated and bullshit in the first place, because everything else works on a season basis, whereas the WWE obviously does not. So I think it's really unfair to judge these numbers. But considering they did want it to be a celebratory show, I thought it was pretty weak. You know? What do you think?
It wasn't the best SmackDown. No, not at all. It started off with the announcement for the 41-man Battle Royal with Raw stars and SmackDown
stars.
Which
we already saw. We saw that this year.
Yeah.
I know it was in a battle royal, but the only key difference between the Royal Rumble and the battle royal is the fact that everybody started in the ring straight away.
Yeah.
You know? But we saw the largest Royal Rumble of all time this January, which, in all fairness, does feel like a lifetime ago right now. I can't believe the year's almost over, but we've already seen that this year. And, I mean, I can't really comment on the battle royal because there's too much happening to really focus on any specific point. It was just a lot of people. Wrestlers get lazy in big battle royal situations because they think that they can hide the fact they're not doing anything.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was now. I spotted one man. Someone was lying on the floor and they were stamping on him, stopped, looked about, and walked off. And the guy on the floor was just lying there going, what am I doing now?
Yeah.
And the other guy just walked off and exactly. I left him. He's like, went over and just pushed somebody else from behind.
And just randomly
and then
started
walked off
place.
To like, somebody else. I was like,
yeah. What? It's really stupid when you have that.
Like, the problem was that as he walked off, the camera had zoomed in on him.
All right.
So it was really obvious. I'm sure backstage he got shouted out, but I wish I could remember who it was.
It's stupid because, I mean, again, there's just too much happening and there's not enough room for actually wrestling. So all you're going to see is dudes punching and kicking each other and just throwing each other over the top rope.
It's not until you get down to like the last maybe six, five people in there.
Yeah, and then, of course, you've got the final four.
The final four is always the big point. Well, obviously, we all spotted Miz rolling out underneath the bottom rope, and as soon as that happens, you knew, right? Well, Miz is going to be in there at the end.
Mm-hmm. And then it finally boiled down to the Miz and Orton, and it ended in a really stupid move.
I just don't think
none of that made sense because if you watch it in slow mo,
it really looks like they hit at the same time.
Well, it's not only that, but if you watch it in slow-mo, you see the Miz doesn't hit the apron at all. Yeah. The Miz literally just jumps off the apron onto the floor. So all Orton is technically doing is landing on his own back as the Miz just jumps to the floor. It's fucking stupid. It didn't look good. And seeing it in replay from multiple angles all in slow motion didn't change that. It just made it look stupider and stupider. The fact that it was so obvious that the Miz took no damage at all, so why would he, you know? I don't know. That just it makes sense to me. I mean, the fact that Orton won and then called out Mark Henry to me was predictable.
Yeah,
you know,
really
I mean,
was.
He wanted his vengeance as well. I mean, I don't know. The
if
only
he'd won, that would have fucked up the plans for Big Show.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of goofy. And you know, the only thing that I found funny about the end of it was when Orton announced Mark Henry. He said, "I want my vengeance, and I want Henry." And then you heard Booker T instantly go, "Whoa!" Just. Whoa! I know I sound more like Keanu Reeves right now, but...
And I thought he was going to take on the tag team champions on his own. No, I want to take on Air Boom.
It's just Booker T's fake enthusiasm for something that's so obvious. Anybody could have seen it coming. Pushing on now through this card. Sincara versus Sincara.
Wait, you missed out a match?
What?
Beth Phoenix defeated Kelly Kelly.
I didn't miss it out. I just chose not to talk about
it. Okay, no. Right, well, there we go. We mentioned it.
Yeah.
Move on. Sincara.
Yeah, it's leading towards what? What do you think this is going towards?
It just looks like it's going towards a mask
versus mask. Yeah, that's right. That's what I thought, too. My only confusion was this actual matchup. Why would the blue Sincara be coming out to fight Justin Gabriel in a face-versus-face match? Right?
I'm not sure.
And then he was assaulted out back. And then the black Sincara comes out with his entrance music. So was this match originally supposed to be a three-way match?
I don't know.
That's the only thing that makes kind of sense, though, right? It's the only reason they would all have intros.
Did you know that during the black Sincara music, he'd taken away the stupid cows?
I was disappointed. The demonic cow is what made it worth listening to.
Maybe they listened to us and thought, yeah, that sounds stupid. Let's get rid of that.
If Steve and Tim don't like it, it's not worth keeping.
So we also said that Air Boom needed new music. They got it. We said that the tag teams needed a revival. We got it.
We're calling it. Blind Tag Podcast ahead of its time by about 2 weeks. I mean, it was an okay match. Justin Gabriel. I can't even remember who won. Who won that match?
It was won by, I can check this out right now. It was won by Black Sincara, who was wearing Blue Sincara's mask.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. None of that really made too much sense to me. I just feel sorry for Justin Gabriel.
Actually. Yeah, I thought they put on a good fight.
I was about to say, because Justin Gabriel obviously can wrestle.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the dudes who actually can hold a match. Out of all of Nexus, no, the core, I would say Justin Gabriel's the standout for me. I know Wade Barrett is probably for you, but Justin Gabriel for me.
No, I do like Justin Gabriel. He's really good.
He just needs to get more
good
of a personality.
Yeah, I think that's why I like
Barrett
more, because he's got more personality, he's better on the mic, and he has more of an aura about him.
He has
well.
More of a character.
Yeah.
Barrett's taken to start wearing the jacket and the rose again, hasn't he? I thought I saw him a few times with it.
I've seen him in the coat again.
Yeah, that's pretty gay. So, next matchup, as far as I'm aware, it was Alberto Del Rio versus Sheamus.
Yep.
In a very, very standard meh yeah. matchup. I need to say it again. I hate how negative this podcast is sounding.
Yeah, it does sound a bit at the moment.
Like, four shows and nothing has really engaged me or blown me away, and it's all just so standard moving towards the next pay-per-view. It seems that people are phoning in performances and the storylines aren't really there or clicking. And the ones that are, once again, it's 6 hours worth of programming, minus adverts, for about 10 to 15 minutes worth of really watchable programming that's worth seeing. I don't know. Looking back at these notes, I mean, I know, as Tim said, we usually pride ourselves on how positive we are, and we want to have that positive take on these things, but when things are this boring, because it's not bad, it's just boring, you know?
As I say, though, like, the next one we do after the next four shows and Vengeance might be, that was really good. Like, everything that we complained about in the last one actually built into something.
Yeah.
It just was a bit stale.
You can see where it's going.
Now we can see where it's going. We're really into it.
Well,
it's
maybe.
Yeah.
But again, that's only going to be for the main stories that we're commenting on right now.
Yeah.
Everything else, like the Jinder Mahal stuff, that's still going to be shit.
Unless something happens there.
Doubt it.
Did you hear about, it's been put up on the WWE website, we probably should have spoken this about Raw. There was a video of Sheamus arriving to Raw and making his way through the picket line.
Right.
And apparently he got in an altercation, like, everyone obviously was shouting at him as he was going in. He got into an altercation with Jinder Mahal. They had an argument and he laid him out and carried on walking.
No way.
So during,
he assaulted someone.
Yeah, he assaulted someone. But yeah, Jinder Mahal also, after getting squashed by Santino, got knocked out by Sheamus during the picket line.
See, stuff like that is neat, but I mean, you'd have to be pretty obsessive.
You really wanted to get into it.
Yeah, you have to be on it.
I only picked it up because somebody online had mentioned it, so I went and checked it out.
Yeah. But again, I thought this match between Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus, which could have been pretty good, was actually pretty shaky. It was pretty boring. Again, standard. Yeah. Standard, just going through the motions. I will say, though, that there was a nice progression of the Christian versus Sheamus storyline because of this.
Yeah.
We're going to see a rematch between these two.
So obviously, during the Battle Royal, Sheamus eliminated Christian, then Christian got involved, and
there's that vengeance theme as well again. But what I... Yeah, we're going to see them at Vengeance again, and I'm really hoping that we're going to see them put on a good match, unlike at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Was it Hell in a Cell? Night in Champions.
Night in Champions.
Yeah, which was just boring.
Yeah.
It's really boring. No, Night in Champions, they came out and talked, didn't they? It was Hell in a Cell they met.
Yeah, I think it was Hell in a Cell. Yeah, it was one of the two.
Yeah, one of the two.
It was definitely one of the two.
Either way, it was disappointing. Then finally, you have the main event, which was, once again, Mark Henry versus Orton, which we just saw on the Monday.
You missed out another match.
No, if I don't talk about it, it's not missing out. It's that me. I don't care. What was the match?
Swagger and Kofi Kingston, who was with Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
And Zack Ryder again got the pin over the United States champion.
And
that's
on
the
TV
third
again.
Time he's pinned.
That's right. Third time.
Yeah, it's third time he's
but
pinned.
He was on TV 2 weeks in a row and beat Ziggler twice. Yeah. And then he was off TV for 2 weeks.
And then he was back on SmackDown this week and got the pin over Ziggler again.
If you want to support Zack Ryder, I know you can hashtag, are you serious, bro? So you might want to do that. Support our buddy, Zack Ryder. That's right, personal friend. But moving on, to Henry and Orton again. They wrestled on the Monday. It ended with Rhodes coming out and attacking Orton and putting the bag on his head, which is, again, that big kind of like opening salvo into a big, hopefully big main event push for Cody Rhodes. But as far as this match goes, boring. It's fucking done. It's boring.
It was a bit.
Right?
Right up until Cody Rhodes came out. I mean, we've just seen it so many times. We now know that he can hit the RKO. We now know that Mark Henry's going to destroy him. We've seen it so many times.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen more of Christian versus Orton this summer than we saw of Henry versus Orton. But it feels like this feud is going on too long. I really think they need to just let it go and not have these guys face each other for a while. Because like I said, it didn't make sense after Mark Henry dominating for him for so long for him to suddenly get his ass kicked on Monday. That didn't make sense at all. You know? And then again here, I mean, Vince, WWE, please, no more Henry and Orton. Let them move on. Right? I'm happy to wrap it up there. That was the main event. I've got one more note here that concisely puts my opinion of this episode of SmackDown together, and that just says, what a shit episode of SmackDown. I was so disappointed by it. it was just a waste of time, really, to watch that show. I hope the next week's worth of shows will be better leading up into Vengeance Actual. But what WWE need to start doing is concentrating their shows to be consistent throughout building up to a show, rather than just using the last shows to build up towards a pay-per-view. I mean, usually the last SmackDown before pay-per-view is usually pretty weak, to be honest with you. But I don't know. We've got 2 weeks worth of shows, and I don't think we really had anything overtly positive to say about any of them, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's been a shame, this one. But hopefully we'll start getting more interested. We'll be able to be a bit more positive. You guys will enjoy it a lot more when we're positive. No one wants to hear our people moan.
So I guess that's it. That wraps up for another episode of Blind Tag Podcast, number 6. Thank you for checking us out.
So I suppose now it's time for us to say goodbye.
Well, we got our sign off, but we'll let it build up there. Be sure to check out our next show. It will be the Vengeance Review Show, once again coming out on the Monday. Big thank you once again to our affiliate friends in SWE, GWP, and 4FW. I'm Steve.
And I'm Dot.
Get your smart on.
See ya.